Christians in the town of Sharsada in northwest Pakistan have faced mounting threats from Islamic extremists demanding they convert to Islam or die. A letter recently circulated in the town warned Christians they had a deadline, May 17th, to become Muslim or face dire consequences and bombings. This week, fresh threats from a group calling itself the Taliban's Detonative Department. The rising tension comes amid efforts by minorities to push through proposed amendments to Pakistan's blasphemy laws. The National Assembly overwhelmingly rejected the proposal earlier in May. Well, under existing blasphemy laws, anyone convicted of offending the Prophet Muhammad faces life imprisonment or death. Opponents of the current law want it repealed, or at the very least, amended to a 5-year prison sentence and a fine. They also want the law to apply to offenses concerning other faiths, too. Well, earlier I spoke to Bishop Anthony Lobo of Islamabad and Rawalpindi, who told me that some of the small Christian community have fled Sharsada, fearing for their lives, despite government assurances that it will do what it can to protect Christians there.
Some of the Christians are shifting their women and children out of that area, but they don't know where to put them. It's rather strange that we are being made refugees inside our own country. Religion should not be spread by the sword. It is the government of the province that should provide security for our people, but despite our requests, they have not yet provided any security.
Bishop Lobo was speaking to me Monday, the day the extremists' deadline expired. He told me international coverage of a press conference he held that day may have shamed the government into taking action.
This press conference was carried by CNN and BBC TV, which caused some embarrassment. And as a result, the government instructed the newspapers not to report it. And the extremists also threatened the press if they report it. But one paper, an English paper, reported it extensively and also put a picture of the press conference with me in it. Now, as a result of that publicity given internationally on the TV, there was a cabinet meeting in the provincial capital of Peshawar, under which Sharsada comes. And now the chief minister has at last decided to provide full security to the Christians of Sharsada. Then the European Union embassy is contacting other European ambassadors to make a joint demarche and present it to the government of Pakistan. Then the U.S. Embassy is contacting the President's Secretariat about the same problem. Now, in addition, we have contacted the local secular-minded Muslims of the Awami National Party who have promised to help the Christians there and to do their best to protect them. We have also contacted some very well-known Islamic scholars like Mr. Gandhi, and asked him to give a statement that religion should not be spread by force and forced conversions are against Islam. So also the chairman of the Islamic Ideology Council, which is a constitutional body, the chairman has been approached to give a similar statement that forced conversions are against Islam. And finally, we have sent 10 persons to stay with and around the 50 Christian families, totaling 500 persons, to stay with them. And through these people, we are monitoring the situation continuously because the deadline by 17th May.
Is this an isolated incident? Does anyone have any idea who was behind these threats?
It's difficult because they don't identify themselves. It's anonymous. But our people are taking it seriously. Now I heard, although there's no letter, which I've seen, the people of Mardan, which is another town not far from Peshawar, where they have been orally given threats of the same kind. And then when they contacted some of their Muslim friends in Mardan, they were told, I think you better convert. That will solve the problem. So with friends like that.
What is the percentage of Christians in the country today, and what other minorities in Pakistan are affected by the anti-blasphemy laws that are in place?
Actually, the blasphemy law affects anyone who says anything derogatory against the Prophet, for which there is a death penalty, or desecrates the holy book Quran. and for which there is a life imprisonment. Now, it not only affects minorities, although most of them might be minorities, it affects even Muslims. Right now, there are two or three cases of Muslims who are accused of blasphemy. The percentage of Christians in the population is 2%, but the percentage of Hindus is also 2%.
I know that the anti-blasphemy legislation in Pakistan has been challenged by some of the minority groups. Is it a law based on a strict interpretation of the Quran?
Actually, it's more the Sharia than the holy book itself. Because you see, there are various ways in which you can interpret the Sharia. Now, for instance, this law is the only law in the whole world, not only in this country, where the intention to commit derogatory statement against the Prophet is not considered. Now, in all crimes, it has to be willful and deliberate if it is called a crime. Otherwise, it's an accident. So here, no distinction is made between an accident and a deliberate, willful offense. So that's a very strange law, and even Muslim scholars say it should be changed. But they don't expect any change to be made until after the elections, because that could be used by fundamentalists to attack the government if it changes it.
But how concerned are Christians and other minorities about these laws? What are some of the risks that they can face?
You see, anybody at any time can be picked up. Generally, we found when Christians are accused, there's an ulterior motive, some vested interest, which they want either to acquire his land, his house, or take away his job. And then they put a false accusation of blasphemy. Now, the trouble with that is they don't wait for the police to arrest or the judge to try the person, in which case the person will be acquitted because it's a false accusation. But the mob, they rush in and they lynch the person. That's the trouble.
What happens, Bishop Lobo, if a Muslim, for example, wishes to convert to Christianity or another religion?
Interestingly, they've just presented a bill in the National Assembly, which is our House of Parliament at the federal level. National Parliament, and it's presented by the fundamentalist members of Parliament to say if any Muslim renounces Islam, he should be killed. They want to pass that law. By the way, this is in their Sharia, so this is one way of getting the Sharia in. Any Muslim converting has to be killed. So what the government has done, it sent it to a select committee for study. They're trying to stall.
One would assume that, for example, even going to a Christian church could be construed by some people then as an insult to the Prophet Muhammad.
No, that is not done. And there are many people who visit our grotto and grottos all over the country. There are some people that come for charismatic healing services and claim they are healed. So that goes on. Because you see, everyone in this country who is a Muslim is not an extremist. A lot of them get on very well with Christians, but since these things are highlighted in the press, one would think that everyone here is a fundamentalist, is an extremist, is a terrorist. It's these kind of news items that make the image of the country, unfortunately. But as I say, there are many people who get on well with us.
What do international bodies like the UN say about the rights of religious minorities in Pakistan? And you mentioned there has been some stepped up international pressure on the country to be more tolerant towards its religious minorities.
You see, the United States brings out a human rights report and we don't get very high marks on that. Then in Geneva, every year, I think it is Geneva, there's a meeting of the United Nations Human Rights and Rights of Minorities meeting every year. And there is the place where a lot of embarrassment is caused. And they generally try to send a kind of Christian who sides with the government to sort of whitewash the whole thing. But it doesn't stop the international bodies and NGOs and all from bringing facts and figures, which is embarrassing.
So are you basically just waiting until the elections happen to see what happens next?
The government spokesman, he's a senator and also information secretary of the ruling party, he said that we are going to amend it, but we have to wait till after the elections, because if we do it now, this will be used against us in the elections by the extremists. That's what he said. After the elections, there might be a change in the makeup of the parliament. And if that happens, then it will be easier to pass the law. But right now, it will prejudice the outcome of the elections if these people say that they are amending our religious law and therefore don't vote for them, and then they might even lose or get very, very few seats, and then the fundamentalists will get more seats. So that's why they're saying we're going to bring it after the election. But he said it quite frankly. I was surprised that he said it.
Legislative elections are scheduled for October 2007 in Pakistan. But how can Christians outside the country show their solidarity with the local church? Bishop Lobo says one way is to take up pen and paper and to write to Pakistani authorities. Another, he says, is to get on the web.
We have a thing called Hotline, comes out of Hong Kong, and they write in to the president of the country and to the prime minister and to the chief minister of the province, saying that we are very distressed to see what is going on and hope that Christians will be given their rights and due protection so that they can live in peace and harmony with their Muslim brothers and work as they have always been doing for the progress and development of the country. So if many letters come like that, they'll sit up.
You know, if a Muslim here in Europe were threatened with death if he didn't convert to Christianity, there would be an international outrage.
I know.
Does it make you a little upset that there's no Christian outrage over what's happening?
You see, the laws of those countries are very liberal and they grant a lot of rights to every religion. Whereas your laws, as you well know, are different. So we have to be more careful here. But there they would be protected and defended by the state. Here we've got to evolve a strategy to get the state to defend us, as you have noticed in what I said. Vatican Radio, pray for us.
Bishop Anthony Lobo of Islamabad and Rawalpindi, Pakistan. Well, he was talking about Hotline Asia, an internet site online with the help of the Asian Center for Progress of Peoples, an independent organization based in Hong Kong. Both work to remedy social injustices and to further peace in Asia. You'll find them on the web at hotlineasia.org and acpp.org. That's acpp.org for the Asian Center for Progress of Peoples. Well, Christians across the globe are encouraged to pray for the small community of faithful in Pakistan. The local church is engaged in a novena of prayer and fasting in their support. The All Pakistan Minorities Alliance has established a Charsada Peace Committee involving local Muslim and Christian leaders in an attempt to find ways to resolve the tension peacefully. The APMA has also appealed to Islamic scholars and Muslim leaders to condemn the threats to Christians. Well, human rights organizations say the extremists are getting bolder, bombing audio and video shops, threatening barbers for trimming beards, and warning hotels to remove televisions from guest rooms. A suicide bombing last month in Charsada killed 28 people. Gama gama de biza, biza maga gama gama de biza, biya bade.